Happy Father's Day, dads. Dads, we're not going to make you stand up because dads don't like that kind of stuff. So raise it. Can you raise a hand? Is that all right? Dads, where are the dads out there? All right. Thank you, dads, for being here today.
Proud of you guys. Raising a hand.
At the end of this talk here. By the way, it's good to have Tim Phillips joining me today. Help. I'm really going to be interviewing him. I'll be Oprah. He'll be Tim. Okay. But at the end of this, we're going to be giving away just fathers are eligible. You should have got a ticket when you came in, dads. We're going to be giving away a nice Yeti ice chest. That's exciting.
It is nice.
And if I was really Oprah, I'd be saying, you get a Yeti and you get a Yeti in. But I'm going to draw the line. I'm not going to say that. So
we need to have church next Sunday. We can't give everybody a Yeti.
We could give everybody a Yeti, or we could pay our electric bill this month. So we'll do that. All right. This last service at 8:30, we had we gave a Yeti away to a father, an incredible father in our church.
Yes.
Stan Stanridge won the Yeti. And it just so happens that he's the San Marcos police chief. And yes, he's a member of our church. I don't know if you guys know that, but the San Marcos police chief is a solid member, he and his wife, of our church. And he just happened to win yesterday. It was really cool. And yesterday, he and me and our wives and many people from Promised Land and many people from other churches all marched from the heart of San Marcos down to Dunbar to march for unity. There was the black community, Hispanic community, white community. Many people from law enforcement were there marching. It was just a beautiful, beautiful sight.
That's awesome.
So there's something great going on in San Marcos. Okay, before we get into the message, I do want to make sure everybody knows that speaking of electric bills and all these things that we do, that we couldn't do anything if it wasn't for the generosity of you and our church. So thank you so much for giving week in, week out, and making a difference here in this community. So many great things are happening. We always want to give you an opportunity to be generous and to step into that, because it's really, the more we give, the more we're like God. God's the most generous being that there is, you know. So there's several ways to do that at Promised Land. You can give with the envelope and the seat back in front of you. You can give digitally. If you're online right now, there should be a link that you can click and give. You can give by text. You can give on a website. All of those funnel into this online network we have called Realm. And it's our database. It's our accounting software. It's everything. It's a secure, safe, easy way to do it. So thank you so much for doing that and being faithful. We're in the middle of a message series this summer called Road Trip, talking about hitting the road. I'm going to be taking a road trip in a couple weeks. I'm excited about that. And Tim and I have been talking about this topic that we're talking about today for a long time. And it just really fit for him to come up here, two dads talking about this topic of road trips.
Yes.
What about you? Road trips in your life, what stick out?
So when I was a kid, I was about 7, my uncle drove me from either Houston to Dallas or Dallas to Houston. I was 7, I don't remember. But I do remember I got in the car and he turns over to me and he says, "I hope you went to the bathroom because we're not stopping." And he handed me one of those sandwich bags full of animal crackers, like kind of.
Throw them in the bag.
And then we left.
I thought when you said handed you a Ziploc bag that you're going to have to use that in case.
No, I still talk to this uncle, so that didn't happen.
Something about road trips that really apply to everyday life, because, you know, life's a road trip.
Yeah.
You were telling me about when you served in the Army.
Yes.
Y'all take road trips. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we took road trips. We call them convoys. I did one tour in Afghanistan in 2004, 2005, and we would take we would convoy from our base in Kandahar, which was big airport, up to a forward operating base. And this was like 16 years ago, and I was very low on the totem pole, so I don't remember the name of that operating base because that they didn't tell me anything.
Yeah.
But man, we'd all pile into this Humvee with an open bed that was, we'd put on Kevlar plates. I don't know how, where we got Kevlar plating.
Yeah.
But we bolted it on ourselves. We piled that thing like we were the Beverly Hillbillies.
Really?
And just like.
How many people in a vehicle?
Five.
Okay. And so you'd take off from the base, you'd head toward the next place. What were the roads like?
There was one stretch of paved road, we call it H1 because our unit was from Hawaii, and one of the highways in Hawaii is called H1. Nate knows. And so we took the liberty of naming that highway. I don't think it stuck. I think it's called something else now. But was the Highway 1.
So it was like paved road.
That was paved.
Were there like Buc-ee's on the way? Or, I mean, what'd y'all do for snacks?
Buc-ee's haven't made it there yet. No, we drove through.
You loaded up, took off.
Yeah, we took off. We drove through some small towns, but we didn't stop.
Yeah.
It was never.
Well, first of all, thank you for serving our country. That means a lot to us. Thank you. Appreciate that. You're going to learn a lot about Tim today. Most of y'all probably didn't know that, but serving our armed forces, thank you for that. One of the things about a road trip is on the highway, the far left lane is called the fast lane. That's where you drive fast. That's where you pass people. And if you're like me, this is dad, a lot of dads are like this. We're going to get in the fast lane. We're going to get there. We're going to beat the time that we had last year, okay? If we're going to Grandma's, if we're going to the mountains, if we're going to Port Aransas, I mean, Port Aransas is supposed to take 3 hours. We're going to make it 2:45, all right? 2 hours and 45 minutes. And we're going to get there. We're not stopping. And it's inevitable. My wife always wants to stop like 5 minutes down the road. I'm like, no, we're not stopping. We just started. You cannot stop at least an hour. At least an hour. You got to be on the road at least an hour. I see a head shaking. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And what's interesting is there's absolutely no prize for getting there earlier.
No.
You can get there earlier. There's just something inside of you that's like, yes, we did it.
I have a trophy on my shelf. It says, made good time.
We should have those made. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe next Father's Day we'll give out those.
Best time.
To the guys, yeah.
Best road trip time trophy. Don't display that.
I had a thought. I just remembered this. Some of you that are older like us would know. When we would go on trips, there was these rest stops, you know, and that's another big piece of road trips. There's the fast lanes, but there's also rest stops. And that's really the topic we're going to talk about today, being in the fast lane and knowing when to stop and rest. But these days now, people don't go to the rest stop because you haven't packed your own lunches and your own stuff. You're stopping at Buc-ee's or you're stopping at the other ones, the big you know, rest stops, buying food, buying all that stuff. But back in the old days, we would pack our own food, and we would stop at these little side of the road, have the angled roof on it, picnic table. Some had like little barbecue pits on the side. You would stop, you'd prepare your lunch. And my mom would always wrap our can, our Coke cans, in aluminum foil to keep them colder. Did any of y'all's moms do that, or did y'all do that?
I remember that my mom would do that.
Yeah.
And I never understood.
Why? Does that, like a can is, aluminum foil, yeah. Already, aluminum. And then you're going to wrap one more coat of aluminum. It's like, we're going to really make this cold.
That's how Yeti started.
That was the original Yeti, yeah.
It's like, what if we did?
I just thought that was so funny, because I don't, does that really work?
No. I don't think it worked. I always drink a hot Coke.
There was a lady in the first service that was like, she almost yelled, yes, it works. It does work. Okay. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about how in life we get in this fast lane and we think if we get there quick or fast or good, it's going to take us not resting, not stopping. And this is a great message for fathers, but honestly, it applies to every human. Every human needs to hear this message. But fathers in particular, because as a dad in the home, we try to provide for our families. We try to work hard. All that's a great thing. Those are great things. And we need to do that. The Bible tells us, you know, how do we know how to work? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know, that's what the Bible says. Look at how the ant works. The ant working. So definitely need to work hard. But the Bible also warns us against hurry. You know, I think hurry is a great word to just kind of summarize where there's so many people in our generation in 2021 that's just going.
That's right.
Back in the old days, they thought, well, you know, technology will fix this.
Yes. The economist John Keynes thought that because of technology, the advancement of technology, efficiency in manufacturing and production, that his grandchildren's generation, which is basically us, would be working 15 hours a week. We'd only have to work 15 hours a week. It was also thought that we'd be taking like 10 weeks of vacation a year. Anyone take 10 weeks of vacation this year?
Mm.
If you raise your hand.
Emilio just raised his hand. All right.
Cool.
So we're looking for a new student pastor, if anyone. No.
Looking for.
That's called being fired. No. So you were in the reason I wanted Tim up here is because you've been on this journey pretty recently. Tell us about what it was like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, so about 4 years ago, I was working at another church in San Antonio. It was a large church, very fast paced, a lot of services, just a lot going on. And I didn't make a lot of money. So to supplement my income, I taught guitar and drum lessons to children, which is just so rewarding. And no, it is. It's fun. But man, there's only so many like 5-year-olds you can teach drums to, right? And a couple other days a week, I was like playing at bars and clubs till 2 or 3 in the morning. And I was irritable. I was angry. I was like, the smallest thing could set me off. It was like I had no emotional margin. It was just, I was just stressed. I had stomach issues. I mean, it was just, I was just like, I was in the fast lane and like there was no brake pedal.
Yeah.
I was never not working. I had 2 kids at the time and it was just, it was crazy. And I found myself just always in a hurry, always trying to achieve and always trying to produce or to get to the next level and never really making any progress.
Yeah. So it was like the gerbil in the wheel, the exercise wheel.
I was a gerbil.
Just going around and around and around. There's a great quote here by some guys, Meyer Friedman. Tell us about that, about this hurry sickness.
Yeah. Two cardiologists, they coined the term hurry sickness after noting that many of their patients suffered from a harrying sense of time urgency. And they defined hurry sickness as a continuous struggle, an unremitting attempt to accomplish or achieve more and more things or participate in more and more events in less and less time. And that was in 1974 that they found that.
Wow. So you talked about the guy in the 1930s that thought we would, you know, technology and systems and structures and all that would eliminate the need for us to work and we could just kind of sit back and enjoy life and things would work, produce for us.
Yes.
But by the 1970s, they identified this. And then here we are in 2021. We think, well, we got a cell phone. We got tablets. We're so connected. And we have computers that are so fast and all that. It's really going to save us. It's really going to save us time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
It does not.
We become enslaved to the thing. And honestly, it does produce for us, and it's a good thing, but our insatiable need to be engaged and doing something and moving fast just makes us find another app or find another game or find another social media outlet or You know, so we just keep, you know, going on that path. It would be one thing if you just burned out physically, you know, and struggled, had health problems like that. But what happens, and the reason we're talking about this today in church, is that there's a spiritual burnout that can happen that is directly correlated with our need to work, or do, produce. And it becomes a spiritual ailment.
That's right. There's a pastor, a theologian, philosopher named Dallas Willard, and he said that hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. And I found that to be true in my journey, that I hadn't heard that quote yet, and I hadn't really associated that term hurry with what I was experiencing, but that is exactly what was happening. And we're not talking about just someone that works hard. We're talking about when you work hard, but there's never an end to it. It's this unrelenting need, this unrelenting like desire to keep achieving, to keep producing. There's never a break. There's never a stop. There's never any kind of margin.
I found that it's not just when I'm like have a big project or there's a lot of stress going on that I work. Sometimes I get so hurried and I get so wrapped up in what I'm doing, and I begin to go towards a path of burnout because things are going so well and I really enjoy what I'm doing. And so I'm doing it, I'm enjoying it, I'm doing it. And it can, without even knowing it, it can become, that production can become a god to me. Like it is producing something, which it may be hard for y'all to grasp this coming from me because I'm a pastor and my work is supposed to be holy work, you know, but even pastoring something that's supposed to be a good thing can become something that's completely overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, most of the stuff that probably a lot of the stuff that we fill our time with is good. I mean, it's,
yeah.
I mean, if you hate your job, then it's probably easy to take time off from it. It's easier for you. But man, if you love your job, it's harder, I think.
Yeah. So there's scripture. We want to go to scripture today. There, you know, this is an issue that has been going on since the beginning of the world. And God sets the precedent for us in the first couple chapters of the Bible after creation. What did God do on the seventh day? Okay, we're going to open our books to the book of Genesis now. God rested on the seventh day.
That's right.
And the Jews have always called that word
Sabbath.
And it comes from what? What's the original?
It comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease, to stop working.
Yeah. That means to not do anything. In the Old Testament, it was a law. Let's read Exodus 20 and 8 and through 11. Why don't you read it for us?
It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
So that's not just something in the Bible. That's one of the Ten Commandments. That's one of the Ten Commandments, and it's a very long description for one commandment, very detailed. When people think of the Ten Commandments, I think the first couple ones, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet.
Don't steal.
Yeah. And you're like,
your
man,
father and mother.
I'm not going to do those. I'm not going to break those. Those are serious.
Yeah. I can't not kill somebody.
What's interesting about this is it doesn't say the other Ten Commandments are really important. This one's like, you can do this. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a certain kind of job, you don't need to do this.
Right.
Literally, if they didn't do their job, they didn't eat. That's because right. They were farmers.
Yeah. Taking a day off was unheard of.
I've talked to many people in the church over the years, and like, well, you know, I just can't do that with my job. Well, unfortunately, there's no asterisk here. Well, if you do this, and the reason why is because it is a deeply spiritual principle that's going on here.
That's right.
Deuteronomy 5:15 says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, that's whenever you see the word in the Bible, therefore, that's important. That means this happened, now this happens. This happens because this, right? This is a very simple concept, but therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So it's a principle of really identity. It's an identity thing. This is what you do because this is who you are.
That's right. And it's who God is.
That's the main thing.
It's trusting who God is.
God is your provider. Mm-hmm. God is your protector.
That's right.
And if you really believe that, you'll do this. Now, at the same time, what I've learned in my life is that the Sabbath day is really the test for you to see if you really believe that or not. Because I remember first grabbing a hold of this after I became a pastor here in San Marcos. And I would be like, okay, I'm gonna have a Sabbath day, you know. Friday's my day, you know. So I'm gonna reserve that day. And I began to hate Fridays because I was like anxious and I was stressed. I wasn't doing any work at the church. I wasn't answering phone calls or emails or anything like that. But I remember going to Eric and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm so stressed right now. And the reason why is because I was trying to practice this habit of Sabbath without leaning into God.
Oh, that's good.
That last song is so perfect for this. Yes. Talking about leaning into the Father.
Yeah.
And that's really the principle. So what happened with me personally is that I had to start practicing it and learning how to let go.
Yes.
And it's really not just letting go on the Sabbath. It's learning how to let go all the time. But working when you're working, I mean, like, when it's time to work, we're going to work our tail off. But then we're going to have a rhythm of rest. And in that moment, I'm trusting that, I remember this so clearly, God speaking to me and really said, "Robin, do you trust that I'm the leader of this church, or are you the leader of this church?" Sorry, God, you are the leader of this church. You know, it was this very much an awakening in my life that, because I know what we think. I think the same way. What if a crisis comes up? What if something happens and I don't have my phone on? What if I'm not on call? What if I'm, you know, I've got to do this. What if it's all going to fall apart if I don't do whatever?
Like it's all about us. What if I don't do this? If I'm not working, if I'm not doing this, and Sabbath is about who God is. I remember I was coming out of when I first came here. The first few months, I found myself working one job. I found myself in a bigger role at a smaller church and in a smaller town, and life was slower. I had just had my third kid. Somehow life was slower, and not all of my life, but in general, slower. And I began to, like, it was deeply affecting me, not just physically, but spiritually. And it was like the slowing down was like having this profound effect on me. And I remember going to coffee with a friend who was also in ministry, and he told me about this film. And it was called Godspeed, and it's based on the idea that Jesus walked about 3 miles per hour. So when you're zooming down the highway at like 60, mm-hmm. everything's a blur. But when you slow down to walk, you start to notice like blades of grass and flowers and, mm-hmm. oh, there's that house, or this mm-hmm. guy could come up and interrupt me. Mm-hmm. And you see that with Jesus. He was super interruptible. People were always interrupting him for healing or for prayer, for whatever. So this film was about this American pastor who went to Scotland and pastored a very, very small church and learned what it meant to just slow down, be known by the people that he was pastoring and getting to know them. And I remember that having a profound effect on me personally. And I just began to ask God, how do I do that? What does that look like for me?
Yeah.
So for a few months, I just prayed and I read scripture and I started reading some stuff by Dallas Willard and some other people. And after a few months, I began to share it with my wife. And I love my wife. Whenever I have a big idea, she goes, oh, that's great. How is that going to happen? And I need that. So I said, babe, I want to slow down. I want our family to know what it means to live at a slower pace and have some margin. She goes, that's awesome. Yeah, how do we do that? And I went, I want to start practicing Sabbath. And she said, great. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
So for us, what that really meant was Sunday's not a work day. I mean, Sunday's a work day for me. It's not a day of rest. It's not a day off. So we start our Sabbath on Friday night. And what we used to do was we would put an inflatable mattress in the living room and we'd watch a movie. But I don't know if you guys know this or not. When you put an inflatable mattress on the living room floor and you have a 7, 5, and 3-year-old, what you've done is you've put a trampoline in your living room. And that poor air mattress is like slowly leaking. So we decided pretty quick that while that might have been fun for the kids, it was like a nightmare for us. But we start it Friday night. We watch a movie. I'll try to pray for the kids as they're running around being crazy. I don't do it every time. You know,
yeah.
It's something we practice. So yeah. In practice, you mess up and you just,
that's a great,
just try again.
That's a great word for it. We practice it. We're trying it. We're doing it. It's a rhythm that we're,
yeah.
It's a movable thing. It's a flexible thing. I think it's a principle that we live by now. Like back in the Old Testament, it was a law, the law of the Sabbath. When Jesus comes, Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so when you hear the words of Jesus, what he's saying is that the principle of this still exists, even though we don't live under the law of it.
That's right. I mean, Jesus himself practiced Sabbath. He was Jewish, so he was in synagogue. He practiced Sabbath. But by the time Jesus began his ministry, the people were so burdened by regulations and so burdened by rules that it was actually hard. It was a burden for the people to practice Sabbath, for people to rest.
Yeah.
And it went against what God had originally mm-hmm. intended Sabbath to mm-hmm. be.
Yeah.
Sabbath was a gift that he gave to his people, and I believe it's still a gift that he gives to us now. When my wife and I began to practice this a little over a year ago. Like I said, I was irritable. I was grumpy. I would get angry easily. And through practicing Sabbath, just a weekly rhythm of slowing down, stopping work, resting in who I am and God, resting in who God is, that irritability started to fade, that anger started to fade. I feel like I'm more patient.
Yeah.
I'm more present with my family,
mm-hmm.
with my kids. One of the things that broke my heart when I was living such a busy life is that I would miss things.
Yeah.
Like my middle son's, one of his birthdays, I was sleeping in because I had worked until like 3. And I missed, like, celebrating with him in the morning. And I thought, man, I missed that because I was trying to make a few extra bucks. That didn't even matter. It was that had such a profound effect on me. And God is so merciful. He's so gracious. You don't have to stop. You don't have to rest. He's not going to make you do it. But it's a gift that he gives you, that he invites you into.
Yeah. I think that what happens is it is a point of faith to say, I'm believing that if I pause and I follow the principle of this, that God is going to make me more productive in the times that I am working. That's basically what's going to happen. God's either going to supernaturally bring something to me that didn't come from my direct working, or he's going to make my working more fruitful so that I can have rest and I can have this rhythm of rest. And it's to me, it's the same. It's a direct correlation to financial trusting in God. The law of the Old Testament was you have to give a tenth of your income to the church. We don't live in the law of that anymore, but we still live in the principle of that, that if you give a percentage of your resources to God, he's going to bless you, and you're going to live better on that 90% than you would if you're trying to live on 100% by yourself. So you give some to God first, he's going to bless the 90, and it's going to be a better life. It's hard to wrap your rational head around that because it's a thing of faith. And it's the same thing with the Sabbath, that God, if I would get in this rhythm, and I like the word you said, practice. I want to encourage everybody to experiment with this. You have different work schedules. Some of y'all work 3 days on, 2 days off, or you work three 12-hour shifts or whatever, and it rotates. Just, you know, find something, find a way that you can practice it with your family. And, you know, it's kind of like at Christmas time we may do the Advent type of thing to really, let's focus our family around this, let's think about this. The Sabbath is sort of a weekly way to do that as well. When we pray for our meals, we're doing the same thing, like, God, thank you for this food. So a Sabbath rhythm or practice is just find something, find a way in your family to say, you know what, we're going to pause, we're going to sleep in. Literal sleep is a big part of this, which is awesome. Yes. That literally sleeping more hours is physically and spiritually good for you. Okay, so
everybody is a better person when they've had sleep.
Yeah.
Especially small children.
Yes, and the more, I don't know how this works, but for me, I've noticed the more sleep I get before midnight is better for me the next day. So if I go to sleep at 12 and sleep till 8 a.m., versus going to sleep at 10, waking up at 6, for me.
You didn't see this, but I just gave the thing to my wife because that's how she is.
Yeah, yeah. So,
let me sleep before midnight.
My kids know on Saturday night that I am getting to bed early, because when I get here on Sunday morning, I want to be the best that I can be for my, you know, I want to give God my best. I don't want to give him something that's left over. So I'm going to get in bed early, and they are tiptoeing around the house after I go to bed. Okay, so let's put up this last slide real quick. I think it's really cool. This is a good visual to see these words in this order. Stop, rest, trust, enjoy, remember. I want you to think of this as a sequence of events. Now, I think most people would like to say, man, I want to trust God more. I want to be more connected to God. Okay. Some people say, man, I want to enjoy life better. I want to have a good life. I want to enjoy it. This is a great way to look at this. This is basically the biblical path for trusting and enjoying. And then the remember part is a circle back to the top. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, if you never stop, then you're never really present. And if you're never really present, then you can't love. Because you can't love someone or something that you're not present to. And
well, it's like being in a room with somebody, but you're not with them.
Right.
Because you're on the phone.
Right.
You're present, but you're not present.
I never do that.
You're here, but you're not present. Right, me either. You're here, but you're not present.
Right. So when you stop, it forces you. You're allowed to be present.
Yeah.
And then when you rest, you just settle in. Just breathe. Like the song says, breathe deep. Know that he's good. And you can begin to trust that it's not you. It's not you that provides. It's not you that achieves. It's not you that makes it happen. It's God. And when you trust that, you can begin to enjoy his presence.
Yeah.
You can begin to enjoy what he's giving and what he's doing.
Yeah.
Instead of always trying to worry about you having to do it. And I would encourage you. For me, I would fix schedule. It's easy for me to take a 24-hour period. It's still hard on Fridays. We try to get a lot of housework and stuff like that done, because for me on Sabbath, I don't want to like mow the lawn. I really hate mowing the lawn. Is there like a Roomba for lawns? Is that a thing? There is. Okay, cool. Gift idea. If you. And so for us, it's just a day of free from obligation, free from, we want to rest, we want to enjoy each other, we want to enjoy God, and just be reminded once a week that it's,
amen,
that we're not in charge.
It's awesome. All right, why don't we pray together? Would you pray with us right now? And, you know, there's so many different life situations here in the room. Some of you, maybe early on in your life, this is an incredible principle to grab a hold of when you're young. Some of you may be in your careers, following your education plan, degree plan, whatever. But there's also retired folks in the room. It applies to everybody in different ways, different seasons of your life. And hopefully there's some of you that are already kind of dabbling in this. This is, I hope today gave you some scriptural basis for it, and, you know, help mentor other people into this, because this is a very important topic where I think some seasoned people can really sow into other people. So why don't we pray right now? Let's just all join together and let's just pray a prayer of surrender to God. Lord, I give you my heart today. I give you my calendar. Lord, I give you my chores. I give you my hobbies. I give you my job, my occupation. Lord, I give you my schooling, my education path. It's an open book for you, Lord. I pray if anybody's been, you know, convicted or, you know, spurred a little bit, that we would respond with obedience, God, and that we would sense that this is a place where we really need to trust you. You know where you are in your heart right now. Why don't you just, in your own words, just tell God where you're headed from this point. Show me, Lord. Lord, I want to trust you as my provider. I want to trust you as my protector. I want to trust you as the one who satisfies me. I don't have to keep working and working and working to earn people's approval. I don't have to keep working and working to earn a living or to, you know, make sure we're secure. I'm going to do what you've called me to do, but at the end of the day, Lord, I'm going to rest knowing that you're in control. So show us, God. I pray you would put people in our path, in our life, in the car with us. We talked about this last week, about traveling companions. Lord, I pray we would be traveling with people that would have that same flow, that same rhythm. They would challenge us, mentor us, ask us questions. That would help us, God, on this Sabbath culture, Sabbath principle. If there's anybody in the house today that's far from God, that you're on the outside looking in, today's a day of salvation for you. God wants to be with you. He wants to accept you and welcome you and forgive you of your sin, wherever you're coming from today. Maybe you're watching online right now and you just happen to be flowing through the feed, but you're stuck here. God's speaking to you today. Let's pray a prayer right now. God, please forgive me of my sin. Lord, I need a Savior, and I trust in you, Jesus. I believe that you're my Savior. I trust in the work you've done for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for the powerful resurrection that gives me hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I make myself available to you, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your love, your peace, and your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands. Thank you, Pastor Tim.
All right.
Come on. Thank Pastor Tim. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Y'all got a Yeti?
We got it. We got it going.
Let's go.
Man, that was so good. I just want to sit down and rest.
All right. Is there anybody that needs a ticket before we do the drawing?
Fathers.
Any fathers in here?
Only fathers.
Did you get a ticket? Raise your hand. No? I think there's
ushers are walking around giving you tickets.
The dream team will come.
Go ahead and bring them on up to me.
Here we got one.
Thank you, Mr. John. All right. Here we go. Anybody else? One more? All right. While we do that, I'll go ahead. Okay, good. We got him. Okay, you ready?
All right. So we do the number second one out, right? Second one?
Yeah, second. Okay. First one doesn't count. You guys know that, right?
First one doesn't count?
Okay. Yeah.
This was the first one?
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you the number? No, just skip it. Okay. Second one.
Here we go.
Okay. 834029.
Oh, look at all the dads look up right now. Who's ready?
Okay. 294.
Who's got it?
Last three digits, 294.
294. 294.
294.
Oh, awesome. All right. There we go.
He's not a dad.
Come on. Oh. Uh-oh. You're not a dad? Oh, man, bro.
We'll go number three. Awesome. Okay. We were standing
my
the
wife knows
the
exactly
Dallas
what
Cowboys
that
still
is.
Have a chance. No, I'm just kidding. That's the way I feel when I watch my Cowboys. We still have a chance, no? There's still 1 minute left, no? All right. 834-0386.
386. Oh, you got to be here to win.
386.
386.
Going once.
I got 385.
No. That was actually the first one we pulled.
386. 386. Going once. Going twice. Yes, the Cowboys still have a chance in the playoffs.
Nope. Okay, here we go.
All right. 834-0367.
367. 367. There awesome. We go. We got a winner. Come on up and get your Yeti, brother. And I tell you, this is not a Cody. It's not an Arctic. No Ozark Trail. Okay. We got you the real thing, brother. There we go.
Awesome. Congratulations. Happy Father's Day.
All right. Happy Father's Day, brother. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. So before we end, I just want to know, is there any fathers in here that this is your first Father's Day?
First time dads right here. Today.
Any first time dads? Stand on your feet. Any first time dad?
First time dads.
All right. Oh, so and the rest of us are going to bed, like Tim said, before midnight.
Seasoned crowd in here.
Okay.
Before we sign off, I just want to let you guys know, fathers, you are important.
Yes.
There's a statistic out there, and if you're online, you've already heard me say this one time today. 80% of the time, if a father will stand up and go to church, his family will follow.
Amen.
80%. You want to test that? Look around. You guys are important.
Yeah.
You men are important.
Amen.
And I know there's been an attack on that lately, but we stand against it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
You're important. Lead your families.
Amen.
Do so with righteousness.
Amen.
All right. I charge you. We'll see you next week. We love you. You are dismissed.
If you're watching online, God bless you. Have a great day.